This is a Johnny Happ production. This is G-Watch Radio. I'm Johnny Happ. This is a brand new Government Watch radio program where we'll focus on the malbehavior of the United States government, both past and present. Today's topic is depleted uranium used by the United States military in Gulf War I, used today, used also in Bosnia-Herzegovina, sickening thousands with uranium poisoning, including U.S. soldiers coming home and having malformed babies. This is as originally broadcast on WZRD Chicago 88.3, August 2005. G-Watch Radio, episode number 1. As promised, we're going to talk about depleted uranium. If you've never heard of it, it's uranium. It's a heavy metal that's been depleted, meaning used, meaning it's waste. And they use it because it's so dense, so much more harder than, say, lead. And they use it in the tips of missiles and weapons. And they've been doing it since the first Gulf War. They began developing it in the 70s. And the few Pentagon scientists who dare write papers saying that this was a bad idea and that it would be toxic to the entire planet and detrimental to the health and lives of many innocent humans on this earth and their children. Of course, they were fired, and it has come to pass. There's places in Iraq where the Dutch military won't even set up their camp because they travel with a Geiger counter, I think it's called, and they measure the toxicity of the area, and they said, we're not setting up here. Change of plans. And the U.S. comes right in there and sets up. Soldiers coming home, toxic. Don't even know they're infected with depleted uranium. Think they just have a desert cold that they can't get rid of. Fatigue from the trials and tribulations of war in the desert. And then they have deformed, sometimes extremely maldeformed children. And of course the people in Iraq are experiencing the same problems. So I went to the Grassroots Radio Conference this last weekend in Northampton/Florence, Massachusetts. The Prometheus Radio Project, barn-raising, low-power frequency station building. These two women, Angela Morano and Helena Kosorik, have a depleted uranium media campaign, and they came to the conference and they set up in the auditorium in the entryway where everyone registers. They had large photographs, 8.5 by 11, I would say, if not 11, some 11.5 by 14, of the effects of depleted uranium. Pictures of babies so maldeformed they barely look like humans, and I'm not exaggerating that. Story of one particular soldier, Ray Ramos, you might have heard, who came home and had a maldeformed child. Unbeknownst to him, he was poisoned by the government he was serving. So I got to sit down and do an interview with Angela Morano and Helena Kosorik. This has become their main mission in life at this current time, is to spread the word about our government using depleted uranium on its own weapons, poisoning the land, innocent victims, and our own soldiers. And you don't hear it. You don't hear it, but you hear it here on WZRD, and you hear it from them.
We're here at the Grassroots Radio Conference, and we're talking with Angela Morano and Helena Kosorik, and they brought with them to this conference the Depleted Uranium Media Campaign. Angela, can you explain exactly what depleted uranium is and how it's being used by the U.S. military?
Depleted uranium, or DU as they call it, is actually a product of the nuclear industry. What has happened is that it's being used as in weapons, and it's radioactive, and it has also been used as armor plating. It is very dense, it is twice as dense as lead, so it makes it a very effective weapon. And also, it is rather inexpensive for the Department of Energy to get a hold of, because it's very available from the nuclear industry. And what we have to realize is that I don't think people are really aware that we are using nuclear weapons right now in our wars. It has been used in Yugoslavia, in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, and in both of the Iraq wars.
And they're using this depleted uranium, am I correct, on the tips of missiles?
It's not just a coating on the tips. It's an actual dense projectile that is part of the missile itself. And because it's so dense, it can penetrate very deeply. The other part of it that's very effective is that it has this pyrophoric quality. So what happens is when it enters into a vehicle or into bunkers, when it bores down, it actually ignites and becomes, it becomes radioactive dust at that point, and it incinerates is the main quality of this weapon, the way that it has been used. On armor plating, on tanks, because it's so dense, what happens is it makes it a good protective agent against other fire coming in. The unfortunate thing about all of this is that even some of our own tanks have been hit by our own missiles. So what happens with the material itself is as it is deployed, it starts immediately to spew radioactive dust particles. It has a very low burning point. So what you have now is a lot of radioactive dust particles in the sand, in the tanks themselves that have been exploded, and in the area, which now can be ingested, it can be inhaled, it can be absorbed into the plants, it can be absorbed by the animals and the food chain. So when you realize the scope of what we have done here, the magnitude is enormous.
So what is the advantage? Why is the government using it? Because it's so durable? Because it's so penetrating?
It's so penetrating, and because it's so available also. I mean, you have to realize the nuclear industry, what are they going to do with it? Well, send it to Yucca Mountain? I mean, you know, we have to be realistic here. And the unfortunate thing is that the government themselves has done studies that show that the material is dangerous. But what has happened is it seems that there is a Colonel Wakayama. There is this Dr. Azov Durakovich. Those are only two. But as soon as they started to publicize the dangers, they actually lost their jobs.
And they both used to work for the Pentagon?
Yes.
How long has the Pentagon been using this depleted uranium?
As far as we know, at least, they used it in Bosnia, as I said, in Afghanistan, in Yugoslavia, and in Iraq.
So less than 15 years, say?
Possibly, yes, as far as I know.
They weren't using it during the Vietnam era?
No.
So the evidence was there that this was deadly and dangerous, and these scientists from the Pentagon knew it, and they lost their jobs because
they were asked to stop publicizing in their reports, is basically what happened. What we have now is a situation where even the troops themselves don't really realize when they're going into the areas that this weapon is being used. Areas that are now contaminated. For instance, the Daily News had to pay because the government doesn't test correctly, which is the other thing. So the Daily News paid for the testing of a number of vets, the 442 that came back. And just in last year, they found out that Dr. Durakovich actually did the testing on them, and they were found to be contaminated with depleted uranium.
And the Daily News paid for the soldiers to be tested by Dr.
The proper testing, yes.
That was a Juan Gonzalez story.
Yes, right, exactly. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that they did not know. They were in Samoa, in Iraq, and they were there for they were there from April until September. But the place that they were sitting in was completely contaminated, and the Dutch had gone in before we went there with our troops and had tested the area and refused to put their troops there. Now, last week, or whenever it was, July 19th, there was a hearing in Congress, and in fact, Ray Ramos, one of the sergeants from Samoa and one of the vets from the Daily News articles, went to testify to this fact. And when he came back, he's sick. Many of the other vets are sick. One of them has had a child that has deformities that are now rising in scope over in Iraq, children being born with deformities, leukemias, people getting sick like they've never had before.
So it's fair to say that the Pentagon knew how harmful this stuff was and continued to push along with using it, and they know today how harmful it is, and they still continue to use it.
Yes, we have a memo. It's called the Los Alamos memo. You can actually Google it and look it up on your computer. And basically what it says is, we have to garner the proponency of these weapons. So be careful when you write up your reports. You know. So basically that's what it says.
Now, you and Helena have started this depleted uranium media campaign.
Well, yes, there's a number of us right now. There's a coalition in the Northeast area that have gotten together on this issue.
And you brought with you here to the Grassroots Radio Conference this exhibit, mm-hmm. which consists of some news articles.
We have news articles from the New York Daily News. Vanity Fair, December 2004, did an incredible article, Weapons of Self-Destruction. You know, 1994, Life Magazine actually did an article, The Tiny Victims of Desert Storm. So we have put together, we've assembled a whole display of articles, memos, Pentagon papers, reports, as well as photographs taken by Takashi Morizumi, a Japanese photographer who has gone over to Iraq several times to the hospital in Basra. And he has taken many photographs of the children there and the people over there. And not only that, I mean, we have a photograph there of a woman holding the weapons, because a lot of these tips are all over the sand over there. They're still all over the place.
And radioactive.
And they're radioactive. In fact, there's a movie, The Invisible War, in which one of the scientists from Germany had gone over, inadvertently found these, whatever you want to call them, bullets, whatever he thought they were, brought them back over to Germany, and was arrested for carrying hazardous radioactive material. However, that material disappeared once they took it from him. He spent 3 months in jail. Okay. So these are stories that are never told here. These are stories that are never gotten out into the news. That's why we now have a coalition to try and really bring this information to the surface.
Helena, why aren't we hearing about this in the mainstream press? You don't see it on CBS, ABC, NBC.
No, in fact, I heard about depleted uranium when I was listening to shortwave, and I found that my whole course of my course in life has changed. I was on my way to be a teacher, and in examining what the United States was doing, I decided to get involved in media reform. So there is a group of us that have decided that media reform is best enacted when it is working on an issue. And we feel that the DU media campaign has two components. One is that people don't know what DU means. So we have to not only say what depleted uranium is, but we also have to tell them that this is not, in any sense of the word, a depleted radioactive substance. Secondly, when we tell them that, and they find out that the United States has been using weapons and protection for their fighting Bradley machines and tanks or helicopters, that the troops have been put in a toxic situation, the people of that country that were in have put in a toxic situation, and the troops' families. But the important thing is, this is not a partisan issue. This is not about peace. This is not about war. This is not about democracy and freedom. When the American public realizes that this has been kept a secret, a great lie will be exposed. If the American people are incensed, then there will be awakening in America, awakening that has been long overdue. It has been long overdue because media does not address this issue. And luckily, we're at the Grassroots Radio Conference here in Northampton, Massachusetts. And we came here because we knew we could roll out a call for Americans to address to their congressmen the need to have a congressional briefing on depleted uranium to get to the bottom of this. If Congress is going to put this off until February 2006, the people, we are hoping, once they're informed, will say, we need to know, and we need to do something now.
Do we have any idea the numbers of American soldiers or Iraqi civilians or people in Bosnia that have been sickened by depleted uranium?
Angela, do you have an answer for that?
Well, it's interesting. I have here from Arthur Burnclough. He's the executive director of the Veterans for Constitutional War in New York. And in February 2004, he stated that out of the 580,000 soldiers who served in Gulf War I, 11,000 are now dead. And by the year 2000, there were 325,000 on permanent medical disability. And this number, it's interesting, a decade later, is 56% of those soldiers who served have some kind of form of permanent medical problems. Now, the disability rate for the wars of the last century were 5% World War II and 10% in Vietnam.
And now it's well over 50.
Now it's well over 56, and that's in the year 2000 we're talking about. So what the numbers are now, we're not really clear about this. First of all, we're not clear about this because there's no one tracking, really keeping registry of this, and this is the problem that we are asking. These are some of the concerns that we want to bring before the Congress at the briefing. We need to have a clear tracking record, clear registry. We have to understand where these weapons were actually used and what ammunition they were used. You know, obviously, they're going to say, well, some of this are sensitive issues. But the point of fact, when soldiers are dying, when people and the rates of cancers and leukemias are rising in Iraq, and the other aspect of this is that it's not only the weapon themselves that we are using now. I mean, for years, and that's why it goes back, actually, before the Gulf War, because for years we have been manufacturing and testing these weapons as well. And those areas, upstate New York is a perfect example. NL Industries, right in Albany, New York, was a manufacturing plant. The neighbors around that area have, for the last 25 years, been fighting to get health benefits to get cleanup. They have now, the Army Corps of Engineers has now started to clean up that particular area that was contaminated with depleted uranium.
From the manufacturing?
From the manufacturing. Not only was the area itself contaminated, it went into the water systems. Not only did it go into the water systems, it went into the air, because when they had leftover particles and leftover material, they would put it into their chimneys, literally into their burn facilities. So this stuff was spewing all over the place. Professor Dietz, one of the men who was responsible for closing that plant at that time, put filters all over the areas and up to 25 miles away, so he was able to capture particles, radioactive particles. He said probably if he would have put them further, it depends which way the wind blows. Now, saying that, it's important to realize there are sandstorms in Iraq. We have atmospheric wind conditions, you know, in our planet. We are not immune to what happens over there, right? We are a closed system. It's a small planet. So we are all going to reap what we sow.
Helena, what can the listeners do to take part, to take action, to make a difference, to get involved?
That's a good question. I think that's why we're here for media reform. I think we have to realize that when we're watching television, we're watching a very meted out system of information. The most important information that we need to actually keep our democracy and to remain free as a country is not to start a war, but to protect our right to speak to one another, to tell each other the truth. I think as Americans face the truth and start to look at depleted uranium, no matter how awesome and horrible it seems, then we'll be taking a step forward.
Is there a website that they can visit, somewhere to go on the internet?
Yes, actually, a very good website to start with is Trap Rock Peace.
Trap Rock Peace?
Yes.
And some of these photos that you have brought with you are quite disturbing and pretty difficult to look at. Are they posted somewhere on an internet site?
Well, actually, if you go into it's traprockpeace.org.
Is that anyway. T-R-A-P rock?
R-O-C-K-P-E-A-C-E.
Okay.
.org. Yes, and there are many links that, you know, people will be able to get information, find the photos, see what's going on. There are international organizations that are connected with this organization as well, because there are people all over the world that are actually aware of this issue. There are soldiers in other areas and parts of the world that are also being affected by this.
And Congress has a hearing slated for February?
No.
No.
We are requesting to have a briefing in Congress.
Okay.
One of the...
Would it be in the House? In the Senate?
In the House. And our congressman, Congressman Hinchy from New York, is one of the Congress people that has agreed to sponsor this hearing. It's not a hearing, it's a briefing.
A briefing.
Briefing, which is a little different. We'd like the vets to be able to go and express their concerns, their issues, what they have found out to be a problem with their health issues. We'd like scientists. We have a number of scientists that are working on this issue that have been working with NL, with the neighbors from Albany, with the vets from New York. So there are a number of scientists that have actually contacted us and that are willing and more than anxious to go and give their reports.
What does it take to get a briefing? Does it take a resolution to pass? How does it work?
No, it takes a lot of people, actually, a lot of citizens, and that's why this is very important nationwide. It takes a lot of people to get to know about the issue, to get incensed enough to call up their congressman, congresswoman, and let them know that they are concerned about this and that they want them to go to this briefing when it happens.
And it's going to be hopefully in the House of Representatives.
Right.
So they should call their representative in the House or
right.
email them and let them know.
That's right. And continuously.
Also, they're officials that may be running for office.
That's right.
The reason that I said February is that with upcoming elections, they may put it off.
Yeah.
Right.
And that has been mentioned. How many years can you put off this issue?
How can we get mainstream media to cover the issue?
You notice the silence on that?
Yeah. And how do we put pressure on them? In the same way? Email?
I don't think you're
going
to get it from...
Letters?
Mainstream media is really co-opted by...
I think that's...
industry and
yeah.
corporate.
I think that's a difficult one.
I feel that radio stations are the key to this whole thing. If radio stations can put out, if we can connect with all the radio stations that we possibly can and say, we're ready for people to ask for a congressional briefing, we do this with every radio station we possibly can through the United States. Radio is the only way to reach Americans. It seems to be the only way left. And if we can call on the people to go to their congressmen, they can apply the pressure. So I see radio as the only medium.
Now, you know, the interesting thing about this is that the importance of grassroots radio is enormous to this particular issue. And we have to be aware of this. And if people would even call up their local stations, their public stations, because even the public stations are not covering this issue the way they should. We have asked Democracy Now! To do stories, and I know they have done some. You know, but they also have been really flagrant at addressing this problem. We have our own radio station where we are, public radio station, and they finally did do a segment with us because obviously they were right connected with the Colony NL industry site that was practically sitting right next to them. You know, so we do have to get to the grassroots radio stations as well.
And what's next for you two with this media campaign? Where are you going next? Are you on tour? Do you have a schedule? In different cities?
Actually, we're going to have an event in New Paltz on August 20th.
In where?
In New Paltz, New York. And it will be held at the New Paltz Village Hall. It's Saturday, August 20th. And at that event, there will be educational films on depleted uranium. There will be speakers. One of them is it Melissa?
Melissa Sterry. She actually is a vet who is sick.
And someone that has been investigating NL Industries for 20 years, Tom Ellis. We'll have a speaker from Military Families Speak Out. We're hoping to have military families from Long Island and Staten Island come up to Mid-State, New Paltz, and then vets from Pennsylvania. At that time, we'll also have a planning session in the afternoon for everyone to get together and to continue to spread this web. Just in a few calls the other day, I was able to reach radio producers, or at least one in Long Island, that knew 39 other producers that could work with him. So it's through the network of radio, getting the calls, the call letters, getting the contacts for the stations, inviting them to events.
It almost feels like this is a personal one-to-one battle at this point, to try and connect with people who understand the problem of breaking through the media and getting support.
Well, Angela and Helena, thanks for talking with us, and thanks for your commitment to working to educate the public on this issue of depleted uranium and the government's deception.
We thank you really for the opportunity of having this interview, getting the information, and understand how difficult it is sometimes for people when, you know, they want to be patriotic, they want to be loyal, and it is very difficult to actually absorb the magnitude of something like this, you know, the effects of something like this.
Thank you.
Helena Kosorik and Angela Morano. dedicating this part of their lives to spreading the word about depleted uranium used by our own U.S. military poisoning with toxic heavy metal our own soldiers, the Earth, and innocent people in Iraq, both in 91 and 2003, 4, and 5, and also in Bosnia-Herzegovina from the bombing over there. We'll hear more about this topic. We'll hear more from the Grassroots Radio Conference. Helena and Angela took the mic and did a brief interview with the person who was viewing the photos, who had actually spent some time in Iraq. But first, we'll hear some music. This is WZRD Chicago Spotlight, Depleted Uranium.
We'll get rid of the dictator, rebuild your country, make sure all your kids go to school. We'll clean up the cities, get the sewage plants running, institute parliamentary rule. We'll bring you autonomy, senators and judges, and a shiny new blue banner. We'll bring you pride and prosperity, food in your bellies, and every home a phone, fax, and scanner. After we torture our prisoners, we'll bring you decades of peace, spiritual release, free religious expression. You can say what you want in the papers you run, we'll never force a confession. After we torture our prisoners, the oil will flow just where it should go, across the desert and into the sea. You'll thank your God and the CIA that finally you are free. After we torture our prisoners, you'll all be safe with us to protect you and keep you out of harm's way. You'll thank creation and your liberation from the dark into a new day. After we torture our prisoners, you can all jump for joy, each girl and boy, and look boldly into the distance. You'll be so happy for all that we've done, for such invaluable assistance. After we torture our prisoners, you won't have to worry about tyrants and bullies. Now that you have sovereignty, you can hold your head high, kiss Saddam goodbye, say hello to democracy. After we torture our prisoners, after we torture our prisoners.
All right, that's David Rovick. After we torture our prisoner, and we're talking about depleted uranium. We just heard an interview with Angela Morano and Helena Kosorik, who put together the Depleted Uranium Media Campaign, and they're trying to spread the word and get it out there, and they think radio is the best way. Here's what the government documents admit about depleted uranium. If DU enters the body, this is a direct quote, if DU enters the body, it has the potential to generate significant medical consequences. The risks associated with DU in the body are both chemical and radiological. End of quote. Quote, personnel inside or near vehicles struck by DU penetrators could receive significant internal exposures. End of quote. That's from the Army Environmental Policy Institute. 1995, June 1995. Health and environmental consequences of depleted uranium use in the U.S. Army. It's from a government document. Here's another quote from the Science Applications International Corporation. It's called SAIC. It's a report included as Appendix D of AMCOM's Kinetic Energy Penetrator. Wow. Long-term strategy study from 1990. Quote, short-term effects of high doses of depleted uranium can result in death, while long-term effects of low doses have been implicated in cancer. Quote, aerosol DU exposures to soldiers. Aerosol is when it vaporizes from the heat of the explosion. Aerosol DU exposures to soldiers on the battlefield could be significant, with potential radiological and toxicological effects. That's from 1990. Before Gulf War I. This report was completed 6 months before Desert Storm. This is from Operation Desert Storm, army not adequately prepared to deal with depleted uranium contamination. This is from the United States General Accounting Office, January 1993. Quote, inhaled insoluble oxides stay in the lungs longer and pose a potential cancer risk due to radiation. Ingested DU dust can also pose both a radioactive and a toxicity risk. End of quote. And what does the government tell us? This is from the final report of the Presidential Advisory Committee of Gulf War Veterans Illness, December 1996. Quote, the committee concludes that it is unlikely that health effects reports by Gulf War veterans today are the result of exposure to depleted uranium during the Gulf War. We'll hear more. Right now is Angela Morano and Helena Kosorik when they took the mic and did an interview with a viewer who actually had some experience in Iraq. So dig this. WZRD Chicago.
Hello, my name is Angela Morano and I'm with the Depleted Uranium Campaign, and I see that you have been looking at some of the photographs and the newspaper clippings that we have on display here today of the children of Iraq and the use of depleted uranium weapons. Can you please tell us your name and where you're from and what you think about the display and what you've seen here today?
My name is Ifia Wangaza. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. And I am so glad to see this display here, especially at a communications conference, to help to get the word out about the criminality of the activities of the U.S. government in Iraq. It is imperative that people understand the individual and institutional human rights violations that are going on against the people of Iraq in the name of all things democracy. I was in Iraq last year and had an opportunity to participate in a people-to-people delegation representing the Not in Our Name coalition, and had the opportunity to go to the hospitals in Iraq and to talk to the doctors and the nurses about the lack of medical medicines, the lack of equipment, and the lack of medical support that they were still having despite the U.S. invasion and despite representations in the United States that the deficits that the U.S. sanctions had caused were being corrected. We found that Iraqis who had come to the United States, been in the United States 20 and 30 years, were being exported back to Iraq and put into positions of authority, oftentimes Kurds putting to positions of authority over Sunnis who were exacting retribution for abuses that the Kurds had experienced under Saddam's administration. In one hospital setting where there were three children who needed an incubator where there was only two incubators. So they would rotate these three children hoping to for each one to get enough time on the incubator to sustain it and hopefully to go beyond it.
Can I ask you, did you have a chance when you were there in the hospitals to speak to the doctors, or did the doctors speak to you about any kind of suspicion that a lot of the deformities, or did you find that they spoke to you about these issues there? And was there any inkling in what they said to you about why maybe the rise of birth defects or any of that was going on in Iraq?
They spoke directly to the continuing conditions that resulted from the 91 invasion and the difficulties that they were having in treating patients, children in particular. The situation with the two incubators with the three babies was a result of their mothers having been exposed to radiation. In addition to 91 was also the continued use of depleted uranium in the current invasion, and also the United States' failure to secure sites that they knew had been uranium contaminated. There's a village about 30 kilometers outside of Baghdad, which was a processing center where the people, where these contaminated barrels had been stored. And the United States military failed to secure those barrels. People went and got those barrels, used them to store water, and the whole village at this point is suffering with various cancers and birth defects.
What do you think that we can do? I mean, have you heard this story in the United States? Have you heard information about this? And if so, how? And if not, why do you think we haven't heard about this?
The only discussions that I have heard about the impact of depleted uranium has been, first and foremost, as it's affected the U.S. military, members of the military. And, of course, it was denied for a very long time. And the second place that I've heard about it as it affects the people of Iraq has been within anti-war circles, and it's critical, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so pleased to see you all here at this conference, is that we've got to stop preaching to the choir, and we've got to get it out into the larger community. I think that the corporate media is unprepared to deal with it because they've become such cheerleaders and so uncritical in their coverage, both as so-called embedded, or we call in bed with the government, and because they are the companies that they work for, they are owned by companies that profit from the war itself, Westinghouse being a primary example. So the necessity, it's imperative that it gets out beyond these select bodies. Also, I think that racism has a lot to do with it as well. The notion that, excuse me, in the same way that the military does not count civilian deaths as a result of armaments, they do not count civilian deaths as a result of the related activities. And this is clearly related to the presence. And, of course, it parallels the same kind of activity and impact of Vietnam, where the fields were poisoned, and we see cancer and malformations and birth defects that have followed that as well.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts and your words, and we hope that this does get out to the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Angela Morano with an interview down at the Grassroots Radio Conference in Northampton/Florence, Massachusetts, Western Mass. It was so good to be there, and it was so good to meet them. They're spreading the word about depleted uranium used by our own military. If you're interested in learning more about this, there's an award-winning depleted uranium video that's now available in the U.S. It's a German TV documentary by Freder Wagner and Valentin Thun, produced by Ochoa Films, 2004. It's a 54-minute German public television documentary. It exposes uranium contamination on the streets of Baghdad, documents and analyzes the use and health effects of uranium weapons in Gulf Wars 1 and 2. The filmmakers followed on-the-scene investigations in Iraq by Drs. Feigart Horst Gunther, is the German physician who first brought out hard evidence of the U.S. use of so-called depleted uranium, DU, weapons during the Gulf War. with Ted Wyman, the head of field investigations for the Uranium Medical Research Center. Filmmakers interviewed German researcher Alex Gerds, who found DU contamination in the New York reservists tested by the New York Daily News, reported by Juan Gonzalez in April and September 2004. Check it out. It's called The Doctor, The Depleted Uranium, and The Dying Children. The Doctor, The Depleted Uranium, and The Dying Children. And you can link to it at the website that Angela and Helena told you about, Trap Rock Peace. That's TrapRockPeace, one word, traprockpeace.org. There's all kinds of links on this website. Some of the things we can do, we can call the press, we can call TV stations, we can call radio stations, you can call Chicago Public Radio. Ask them to cover it. Call Jerome McDonald. He'll do a piece on it if he hasn't already. Certainly. Call the local TV stations. You can call the bigwigs, you know, CNN. They're not covering it. ABC, they're not covering it. CBS, you're not hearing about it. You can distribute depleted uranium warning cards to Iraqi students, recruits, and U.S. troops. British troops are warned. You can buy this video and pass it on, it says. This is off their website. Louisiana passed a right to medical test, where all soldiers returning home have a right to be tested for this toxic metal. We're going to hear some more music from David Rovics. And who knows what's next, because this is WZRD, Chicago Freeform Radio.
The draft is coming. It's blowing down the door, so pack your bags, boys and girls. We're all going off to war. You can be the next to die for Halliburton. Pull the cord, drape the flag, and draw the curtain. You can pull the trigger for the Exxon Corporation. Watch the cities burn around you while you're standing at your station. You can shoot the children as they throw stones at your Humvee. You can die for Kerry or maybe for Dick Cheney. The draft is coming. It's blowing down the door, so pack your bags, boys and girls. We're all going off to war. When your tours are over and you come back, maybe you can go to college if you survived Iraq. With you dust in your lungs, you can learn a trade. In your dying years, you'll have it made. When you're coughing up your last breath beneath the overpass, you'll be praying for the fortunes of the military brass. The draft is coming. It's blowing down the door, so pack your bags, boys and girls. We're all going off to war. But you can be proud about the cause for which you died. At least you fought for freedom, unlike the other side. They were setting off car bombs while you dropped them from the sky. You sold the country off to whatever company would buy. Shut their papers down and shot them for their liberty. So as you die, you know you left the world just a bit more free. The draft is coming. It's blowing down the door, so pack your bags, boys and girls. We're all going off to war. History repeat. Fight for empire in the desert and go down in defeat. Or maybe it could happen that now in the second round we will take the struggle higher and this time hear the sound of the chimes of freedom ringing when we take Washington D.C. Cause opportunity is knocking. Oh, say, can you see the draft is coming?
And if we can call on the people to go to their congressmen, they can apply the pressure. So I see radio as the only medium.
We're talking about depleted uranium. Helena Kosorik, Angela Morano. They created the DU media campaign. They're getting the word out. I happened to come across them at the Grassroots Radio Conference in Massachusetts over the weekend and they want you to help them out, you can contact your representative in the U.S. House and let them know that you want a briefing on depleted uranium. If you don't know how to contact your House member, you can go on the World Wide Web. I know you have to have access here in Chicago. Even at the library, you can do it for free. It's www.house.gov. That's where you can go. Or you can go to Google and just type in Find Your Congressman, and that site will come up. You can email them. You can call the switchboard. You can call the local office. Call them up and let them know that you want them to investigate depleted uranium used by our own U.S. government. Scientists told them not to do it. Scientists told the Pentagon it was dangerous, it was toxic. They continued. And now thousands and thousands of people are suffering unnecessarily. Our spotlight today, depleted uranium used by our own U.S. government. This is WZRD Chicago.
Bring them home now. We are going to change this world. Bring them home now. We are going to change this world.
We're at the Grassroots Radio Conference here in Northampton, Massachusetts, and we came here because we knew we could roll out a call for Americans to address to their congressmen the need to have a congressional briefing on depleted uranium.
We cannot collaborate, we're going to change this world. We cannot collaborate, we're going to change this world. Together forever, we're going to change this world.
The importance of grassroots radio is enormous to this particular issue, and we have to be aware of this.
We are going to change this world. No more guns, no bombs. We are going to change this world. Together forever, we're going to change this world.
Let your light shine.
I think that the corporate media is unprepared to deal with it because they've become such cheerleaders and so uncritical in their coverage. Both as so-called embedded, or we call in bed with, the government. And they are owned by companies that profit from the war itself, Westinghouse being a primary example.
We cannot collaborate, we're going to change this world. We cannot collaborate, we're going to change this world. Together forever, we're going to change this world.
Bring them home now.
I feel that radio stations are the key to this whole thing. If we can connect with all the radio stations that we possibly can and say, we're ready for people to ask for a congressional briefing. We do this with every radio station we possibly can through the United States. Radio is the only way to reach Americans. It seems to be the only way left.
No more guns, no bombs. We are going to change this world. Together forever, we're going to change this world.
Let your light shine.
If the American people are incensed, then there will be awakening in America.
We are going to change this world.
You've been listening to G-Watch Radio. I'm Johnny Happ.
We are going to change this world.